Welcome to another episode of The Central Word, a podcast ministry of Central Baptist Church, Texarkana, Arkansas. Today's episode is from the morning message of Sunday, June 16th, and is preached by our pastor, Brother Mike Sylvie. Our desire is that this message builds you up in your faith as you walk daily with Christ. Here now is Brother Mike preaching from 1 Corinthians 11, 2-16, a message titled, Why Men?
Why men? Why has God chosen men to be the leaders of the home, church, and society? Well, I can tell you right away that one answer is not because the men are the superior part of the human race. For Exhibit A, I direct your attention again to the screen where we have a picture of one of the finest plans of changing a light bulb that you've ever seen. What you see on the screen is a man on a ladder about 40 feet up in the air trying to change the light bulb of a street lamp. He's not actually on one ladder. He's on two ladders that have been strapped together, both anchored to the bed of a dump truck. And it's all kind of anchored and braced up with this combination of 2x4s all put together. It looks like it was kind of laid out, designed on an etch-and-sketch board. You know, remember one of those? There are three men in the picture. One is in the bed of the truck with both hands on the ladder as if he could hold it up. There's another man on the ground, and he evidently is the driver, and he is ready at a moment's notice to jump in the cab and lift up the back of the truck so that if they need a few more inches. And then there's a man on the top of the ladder with both hands on the light bulb, not holding on to anything, that doesn't seem worried about any of this. A woman would never come up with this kind of plan. But we men, we've all thought about doing something like this in certain situations when we didn't have everything that we need. And so, why men? It's not because we are the superior part of the human race, and it's not because women are the inferior part of the human race. No, this scripture, which is a very important scripture, and this truth really needs to be understood, is that what God's doing with men, what God's doing with women, it's all about Christ. It's not about the men. It's not about the women. It's about the glory of Christ. And we do have different roles, but they all point to one person. The Bible states very clearly that men and women are equal in personhood. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, describes the woman as a help meet or equal, comparable to the man. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says that the men and women are heirs together of the grace of God. So we are equal in the eyes of God, but because God has a plan of making Christ known to the world, He's presenting a picture of Christ in the world through the man's role and through the woman's role. And as they both picture and do what God has called them to do, they both picture the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And it transforms how we look at one another and how we understand the purpose of the home. The home has a purpose for raising a family and bringing in the next generation. But beyond that, it has a larger spiritual purpose, and that is to glorify Christ forever. And so the man is called to be the leader of the home. The woman is called to be the helper, the assistant, the follower. And as they both take those roles, they are both pointing to something about Christ And they both do it from a different angle. And so, why men? It's because God is trying to teach us something about Christ. And why is the woman called to follow and show submissive honor? It's because he's trying to teach us something about Christ. And as the man and the woman do this together in harmony, then it presents the glory of Christ as he will be worshipped in all of eternity. That's a big truth right there. That stuff that it's hard to wrap our brains around it, but this is the truth, that God has formed the earth and the world and all the families in it, not about to be about us, but to be about Christ. And he's given us roles in the home. He's given us a purpose for the home so that it all points back to him, so that this world will see Christ and they'll be led to him and they will follow him too. That's what it's all about. And so what's at stake if we miss our purpose, if we deviate from our roles? Well, a lot is at stake. Number one, the authority of Scripture and of God itself is undermined. This is the Lord's world. This is his life. The home is his idea. And we do not have the right to say, yeah, I don't want to go with your plan. I want to go with my plan. I want to do it my way. If we do that, we undermine God's authority and the authority of Scripture. And if we undermine the authority of Scripture, then the home is compromised. The health of the home is forfeited. As we alter biblical manhood and womanhood, it weakens the home and it fosters gender confusion. And if the home is weak, then the church will be weak as well. And so the church will be weakened, and the Bible at the church will be undermined. And this will grieve the Spirit. And if the Spirit's grieved, then worship will be compromised. And if the health of the church is compromised, then the advance of the gospel will be obstructed. And so there's a lot at stake with this question, why men? Why has God set everything up in this world in this way? But the simple answer is it all goes back to Christ, as God wants to teach a very important truth about him. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 presents this bigger truth to us, but it also answers a very practical question that the Corinthians had posed to Paul. And the practical question was, should we cover our heads when we pray or when we come into a house of worship? The Corinthians were asking Paul several different questions. He uses this part of the book to answer some of those questions. And here in chapter 11, he addresses this very personal, practical question for them. Is should they cover up or wear hats inside the church building? In that day and time, some people wore hats or covered up at certain times. Sometimes they didn't. So it was a very real question for them in that day and time. During times of mourning in the Old Testament, they would cover themselves, as David did in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30, as he was mourning. Women, when they went out in public, would cover themselves. To cover themselves in public was their way of saying, I'm not available. And so they did, this was a part of the custom in society. When the pagans worshiped during biblical days, they always covered their heads. And so these Christians were looking at all of this and they were saying, okay, what's the right thing for us to do when we come in here? Should we take the covering off? Should we put it on? What should we do? And this is a practical question for us today too, because we've kind of carried that custom along in this day and time. And generally when men walk inside of a place or house or official area of worship, then the custom is to take the hats off. There was a time in which ladies did wear hats at church a lot, especially on very special days like Easter, but that custom has kind of waned. And so what is the biblical thing to do? Well, Paul answers this question. Let's read verses 1 through 16. And see what his answer is. Verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the traditions just as I delivered them to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. But every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is one and the same as if her head were shaved. For if a woman is not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it is shameful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God. But woman is the glory of man. For man is not from woman, but woman from man. Nor was man created for the woman, but woman for the man. For this reason, the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also came through woman. But all things are from God. Judge among yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not even nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given to her for a covering. But if anyone seems to be contentious, we have no such custom, nor do the churches of God. So, at the very end, after Paul goes through all the details of the principle, he says, the bottom line, verse 16, we really have no custom one way or another inside the church of God about this. But if you want to come up with a rule about wearing hats or not at church, or having covering at church or not, he said, these are the principles that you follow in determining your behavior. But he says, we really don't have a custom about this. He's not given a rule about that. He's given a principle that will guide our behavior in life, and he leaves it open for the church to decide. So, he puts it back on them, but he gives them those principles that we all need to notice today. This sermon is not about whether we're going to wear hats in church or not, all right? That was the personal question, but the question really before us today is, how should we live as men? How should we live as women? How should we live as husband and wife in our homes and our family to picture the glory of Christ? That's the bigger picture. That's really what God's trying to get us to understand. So there are 3 points in the message this morning. They are there in your handout if you would like to follow along. The answers will be up on the screen as we go through. There are 3 great pictures of Christ presented in the world. Number one, there's a picture of Christ's headship from the man's leadership. This is the first part of the passage, verses 3 through 4. Verse 3 makes it very clear. Paul gives us the biblical principle that Christ is head over all the human race. The head of every man is Christ. The head of woman is man. The head of Christ is God. So Christ is the one who is in charge of all. The word headship means the one who is supreme, the one who is primary, the one who is in charge of all. The Bible teaches very clearly that that is one person, and that is one person alone. It's not the man, it's not the woman, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ. So notice the 2 principles under point number 1. Christ is the head over all things, the human race, every family, every church, every institution, every life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 and 18 states this very clearly. It says, He is before all things. In Him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, that in all things He may have the preeminence. So everything in this universe is to point towards Christ. God put the sun, the physical sun, in the middle of our solar system to present that same picture, to say it all points toward the sun. And now, as he has put us on the earth, and he has given us life and brought us together in families, he's made everything to be centered in the sun also, the way the man leads and the way the woman follows. Everything's about Christ. And so notice, men, that the next principle under point number one, the man is called to be a leader, not because the man is great, but because Christ is great. And we've got to understand that in our minds if we are going to lead like God wants us to lead, and we are to present the right picture. Because it's not about us. God didn't look down at the man and say, oh, he is head and shoulders above everybody else, and so I'm going to put him up front. And he's going to be the leader because he's the only one that can handle that. No, God chose the male to be the one that would picture the headship of Christ. Not because the man's so great, because Christ is so great. It's about Christ, not the man. So in all things, Christ must have the preeminence, especially in the home. And so to present that picture, God created the man first. He created a little miniature picture of Christ's leadership. And he gave that role and that responsibility to the man. So men, husbands, fathers, you've been made the leaders of your home. God has asked you to picture what Christ does and to follow him as you do that. Paul says in verse 1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. That's what we're to do in our homes. Is we are to follow Christ the best of our ability. We're not perfect. We'll fail. We'll stumble. But we've been given that role, and we seek to follow him to point to the fact that there is a leader that we should all follow. And so if the man does not lead like Christ, then men, we have to answer to the boss. Verse 3 says, Christ is our boss. We're going to have to answer to him. We don't answer to our wife. We don't answer to anyone else. We answer to Christ. He is our boss. And so one day we'll all stand before him and he'll say, how did you lead in the family that I gave you and the opportunities that I put in your life? You were to picture me. How did you do that? Man, we've got to take this role serious. How do we lead like Christ? We become a servant leader, according to Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, nourishing and cherishing her just as the Lord does the church. So men, we have to lead like Christ. We have to die to ourselves. We need to study how Christ led those that he loved. And we need to ask for the spirit of Christ, to have the heart of Christ, to be able to sacrifice and love like he did, and present that picture and that pattern because the Father wants that to be seen in the world. And so this is why men. God wants the men to portray the headship of Christ. So based on this principle of Christ's headship, Paul says in verse 7 that if you're going to make a custom about covering your head in worship, then the men should uncover their heads. They should not wear hats. If you're going to make a rule about it, he says because of this principle, the men should not have a symbol of authority on their head. Why? Because they picture Christ. Christ has no authority, humanly speaking, here on this earth, than from anybody else over him. And so we should picture that same model as well. Now that's the first picture from the men. The second picture is from the ladies. And it is a picture of Christ's honor from the woman's submission. Verses 4 through 7 talk about honor. And here, the honor of or the issue of honor is addressed, because if Christ is head and he is, then he deserves to be followed. If he is out front leading, then there should be some folks behind him following him. Someone said if you're leading and no one's following you, you're just taking a walk. And that's true. And so Christ is out front. He's leading. And there should be in this picture, a man pictures him leading, there should be another part of the picture in which there are followers. There are those that take it as an honor to submit to him and to submit to his leadership and to follow him. And ladies, that's your role. That's what you picture. The men have their picture and you have your picture. And so notice the two principles under point number two. Since Christ is the leader over all, he must be honored as such and have followers. Jesus said in John 5:23 that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Ladies, that's what you picture. And because of this, the woman is called to be a follower, not because she is inferior, but because Christ is great and he's worthy of followers. So the man does what he does, not because of himself, but because of Christ. The woman does what she does, not because of herself and not because of the man, but because of Christ. It's all about him and his glory. And we're presenting two different pictures of him. Both are necessary because he is both leader and he is the one who deserves followers. And this is what Paul's laying out to them about. So why men? Because God wants Christ's leadership to be pictured before the human race, and he wants Christ's followership to be pictured as well. Women, you have an honorable role to play in the church, the home, and society. You picture something very vital about Christ, that he deserves to be followed. And you get to model before everyone else, with Christ's heart and with his humility, what that looks like. And in a way, you become a model for all of us, because all of us need to follow Christ. You see, and what you do, it's not really about you, but it's about him. It's about Christ. And as you follow submissively, then you are presenting this picture. In fact, Paul says that what you do is so honorable that it's up on the level of being like the angels who are in God's presence. Look again at verse 10. He says, "For this reason the woman ought to have a symbol of authority on her head because of the angels." What does that mean? I don't think he means it in a negative sense where you got to watch out, the angels are going to zap you if you don't, if you step out of line. That's not what he's saying. But he's saying the good side of the angels that are worshiping the Lord. The scripture shows us that when the angels are gathered there in the presence of God, that with their wings, with two of their wings, they cover their heads. And with two of their wings, they cover their feet. And with the other two wings, they're dedicated to fly to serve the Lord at a moment's notice. And so the angels are followers. The angels don't hesitate. The angels show the honor of the Lord all the time in the way that they cover themselves and the way they carry themselves. And the scripture saying that, ladies, as you take your role seriously, you become like the angels. You become like the servants of God in the presence of God that glorify him in the way that he should be glorified, that he should be followed. So, ladies, you have an honorable place. But it's not easy, is it? I mean, why should a man lead? After all, the man doesn't ask for the responsibility. It's so tiring. Everyone asking what we should do. How do we fix this? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? Why be the leader, men? It's because Christ should be glorified as the leader. Why should a woman submit honorably to a man? And he's so uncultured. He just doesn't get it so often. He's insensitive. He won't stop and ask for directions. Why offer submission, women? Because Christ is worthy of that submission. And you're actually submitting to Christ through the place that the Lord has put the man in your life, or men in your life. And this is how he intends for it all to work together. And so, men, we should never lead in such a way that we would discourage others around us to not want the scriptural pattern of Christ's leadership. But the people around us in our life should be drawn to the Lord and drawn to us by the way that we lead. In the same way, women, you should never submit or follow in such a way that you discourage others or discourage the world from following Christ. It's all about Christ and His glory. And so he tells the ladies, based on this principle, if you're going to have a rule about whether you cover up when you pray or you come into a house of worship, he says, let the women have a covering over them because it's a symbol of authority. But again, he says there's no set rule about this among the churches. You can decide for yourself or even personally. But these are the principles that we have to consider as we make those determinations. The man pictures Christ's headship. The woman pictures Christ's honor. And then there's a third picture here. As the man and the woman work together, there's a picture of Christ's heavenly glory from men and women complementing one another. And this is in verses 11 and 12. Here Paul says, nevertheless, neither is man independent of woman, nor woman independent of man in the Lord. For as woman came from man, even so man also comes through woman. But all things are from God. Now today, this plan, this model for manhood and womanhood is being challenged, it's being questioned, and even in some Christian circles, it's being set aside for something else. But what we have here is a woman and a man complementing themselves in this role. It's called the complementarian viewpoint of manhood and womanhood. You might hear that term out in the news today because this is being discussed in some of the large denominations, religious denominations in our country. The Southern Baptist Convention just met for their annual meeting, and they dealt with this principle on one measure, and the vote made the national news. And so it's being questioned, it's being challenged, but here's what God says in His Word. This is the role of the man, it is to be the leader. This is the role of the woman, it is to be the follower. God's not calling the woman to follow abuse or to follow something that's going to hurt her or her family. There are other scriptures that deal with that. But where there's an honorable man who's leading like Christ, the woman is called to follow that leadership. And as they both value one another and honor one another in that role, then they come together in a oneness that pictures the oneness of Christ. His greatness and His humility all together in one glorious person. And this is what the third picture is about. Only as we submit to our roles and we enter into our roles and we do it in an honorable way, valuing one another, do we picture the glory of Christ as He will be pictured and glorified in heaven forever. So notice the two principles under point number three. Christ's greatness and humility will be honored in heaven forever. This is how Christ will be seen in heaven forever. He'll be seen as the leader, but He'll also be seen as the Lamb, the one who is submissive to the Father's will, the one who had the name higher than any other name, yet He humbled Himself to the point of death, even the death of the cross, so that He might redeem mankind. And He's going to be honored as the one who reigns, but also as the one who redeems in heaven. Listen to Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So His reigning power will be glorified in heaven. His redeeming power will be glorified in heaven. And those are the two aspects of His glory that we now picture in our roles as men and women. And in heaven, He'll be glorified together in those glorious roles. And we only picture that as we come together as men and women and we complement one another in our God-given roles, picturing the heavenly glory of Christ. That's what Paul's talking about in these verses when he says that we're both dependent upon one another. But all that we have and all that we're trying to do, it all comes from God. It's all about Him and His Christ. And so as we have heard from the Lord's Word this morning, speaking to our families, I want to close by asking you practically to evaluate yourself and evaluate your home. We all have our challenges. We all have things that is not right about our home situation. We're all imperfect people, and we'll all fail in different ways. But this is the guiding principle for our families and our homes, is we need to honor Christ in all these ways and ask Him to help us to do it. I want to ask you, as you bow your head in just a moment of silence right now, I want to apply this sermon with these three questions I would like for you to consider. Knowing that God has made us, that He has made our homes, Christ is preeminent, Christ should be followed. Number one, is there anything, men, higher in your life than Christ? Is there anything higher in your life than Christ? Some person, some pursuit, some authority that's over your head, that's controlling your life, that's guiding you, determining your direction. God's called you to a higher level of living. He's called you to glorify His Son. And so if there's anything in our life higher than Christ, then we need to remove it, like we'd remove a hat. He's called us to lead like Him. And men, today our reminder is that while we're not perfect, Christ is, and He'll help us, and He'll guide us. And as we follow His model, we will glorify Him. Number two, is there anything, ladies, in your life that is a challenge to Christ's authority? Is there anything in your life that you covered up with, that you abide under, that leads you in a direction away from Christ? If there's anything in your life that is a challenge to Christ's authority, then you too need to put that aside and remove it and cover up with Christ's authority. Step under His control for your family, for your life, for your future. You say, well, if I gave up control, my family would go off the rails. The Bible says that Christ is the head of the man. He's called you to be the helper. If there's things you need to do to help, you need to do that. And as you do that, you need to pray for him. If he's making mistakes or he's not going in the right way, tell it to the boss. Trust the Lord. Ask him to straighten it out. But you can only bless your family and bless others around you as you yield to his control in your life and follow his plan. So for men and for women, this is how he plans to bless our families and bless the world at large, and then eventually in heaven forever to glorify his Son.
God knows what he's doing. We need to trust him. And then finally, the last question is it time for you, man or woman, young man or young woman, to surrender your life to the one, the only one who has life? If you're not saved, will you not trust him today? This is why God's put the picture in the solar system. This is why he's put the picture in the world, in the family, in the church, is he wants you to come to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to have life. The Bible says God has put all life in his son. And if you set him aside or you reject him, then you have no life. But God wants you to live. He wants you to be blessed. And he's calling you to himself today. How do you come to him? You come to him with a heart of faith, not looking to your own works, not looking to your own abilities to measure up to God. None of us can. The Bible says all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we come to him in faith and in trust, knowing that he has sent his son to the cross to pay for all of our sins, to pay for all of our shortcomings. And based upon that great offering, his shed blood on the cross, we trust him with our life. And we ask him to save us and to make us who we need to be and empower us to live his life now and forever. As you come to him in a simple moment of faith, he comes into your heart and your life to stay there forever. He'll call you home to heaven one day where you will glorify him in the presence of the angels, in the presence of his throne, for all of eternity. Father, thank you for...
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Central Word. Our prayer is that this message will encourage you in your walk with Christ as we dive into God's Word each and every week. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you in the week to come.